While an estimated half of cats and dogs in the UK are now overweight or obese, up to 80% of owners actually think their pet is a healthy weight. Today, we're talking about this pet obesity epidemic, why it's such a problem, and the best and worst diets to feed our dogs and cats. Dr. Louisa Lane, who is Louisa the Vet on Instagram, is here to shed some light for us on obese pets, vegan and raw diets, and what we can do to keep our pets healthy, including keeping our dogs exercised and stimulated, and helping our cats to feed like they're in the wild. Louisa, thanks for coming today. Do you think that pet owners realize the severity of this problem? Do most pet owners know that their pet is probably overweight?
I think I'm seeing more owners coming forward acknowledging that their pet is overweight, but I do still find the vast majority are either seemingly blissfully unaware or perhaps kind of have the head in the sand about that weight gain. And I think I do appreciate that when you see your pet every day, it's maybe hard to recognize that they're gaining weight when you see them all the time. Whereas when they come in to see us, we perhaps only see them two or three times a year if we're lucky. So we can really recognize that pet's overweight. And also we have the scales, so we physically can weigh them. And I do think a lot of owners genuinely are unaware of their pet being overweight because it's naturally become a bit more of a norm to see overweight pets and slim ones. So there's a joke that whenever a Labrador comes in that's beautifully slim, I'll often just be like, oh, a slim Labrador, you know, what a unicorn, something like that, as a passing joke, because we tend to see overweight Labradors. But, you know, I think hopefully in time, more and more owners are getting on board with acknowledging it and addressing it.
I definitely agree. I mean, in the dog park I go to, I would say the majority of the dogs in there are overweight. And so when a dog comes into the park that's actually of a healthy weight, people will often make remarks like, oh, that dog's a bit skinny, that dog looks a bit thin, but it's actually just a healthy weight dog. What are some ways that an owner can tell if their dog is starting to become an unhealthy weight? What are the signs?
If we can sort of compare it to how we assess if a pet's overweight, we look at things like, you know, the ribs, you know, when you put your hands over them, can you just about feel them? Or is there a layer of fat between them? In some breeds, you are actually meant to see part of the ribs, you know, like your lurches and things like that. You can also assess their spine at the top. You should just be able to sort of feel underneath. You've got muscle there, but you shouldn't have a big layer of fat essentially above where you're feeling. You know, is there a waistline, something as simple as that? Or when you look under their belly, is that belly tucked up, which it's meant to be? Or is there a bit of an underhang? They're little signs that you can often see. But like I said, in owners, it is harder to see because they see it slowly over time, whereas we can make those sort of subjective assessments when we've not seen them for a while.
So why is it that so many pets these days are so overweight?
So that's to do with a lot of factors, really. I think it's down to, if we think about the pet itself, that might be down to some hormonal imbalances or medical issues. But also, I feel like, you know, we have to take some responsibility ourselves that we've undergone quite a lot of lifestyle changes. You know, we work long hours and sometimes our pets are left at home and we feel a bit guilty. We feed them probably more than we need to. You know, I think maybe it's the psychology behind it. We feel like we need to feed them to show that, you know, we love them. There's a lot of diets out there, a lot of pet foods that confuses everybody, and a lot of them are not appropriate for that particular pet. Like I said, we take into consideration a little bit of lack of education between what's actually the right diets for pets. And that's what, you know, hopefully vets and nurses are here to do, to try and educate on the most appropriate diet and management of weight issues to try and get our pets to be a healthy weight.
And why is it important that a pet is a healthy weight? Why is pet obesity such a problem? What are the risks?
There are serious consequences to pets being overweight. For example, if we consider it in cats, we know that obesity in cats can absolutely cause diabetes. The good thing about if that's addressed properly is that if you are able to get that pet, that cat, you know, get some weight loss on board, you can actually reverse their diabetes. If you don't, then they become permanently diabetic and therefore rely on insulin ongoing. So you can see the, you know, the cause and effect of it, and that you can reverse it. another consequence of being overweight is if you have a pet that already has some underlying joint disease pains, you know, that we call osteoarthritis, being overweight is going to put more weight through those painful joints, and it's going to exacerbate arthritis and pain, and it will speed up the progression of that disease. So ultimately you have a pet that's heavier, more painful, and is not going to have a nice quality of life. So you actually reduce their quality of life. So they're the main reasons, really. But to me, just on summary, it just affects their quality of life being overweight, because they're not able to perform or have their freedom to run around and play and walk and do the things that they should do if they are morbidly overweight.
What are some memorable cases from your career as a vet of an obese or an overweight pet coming into the practice?
Memorable cases of overweight pets. So when we did do home visits to let our pets pass away, to put them to sleep before COVID, there was a Labrador that had pressure sores over all of its legs, and it was so morbidly overweight that we actually had to request another member of staff. So there was three of us to actually lift the pet into the car, and it had to have a special transport to be cremated. It was awful. And these are those horrible situations where you feel really empathetic for the owners because we've put their pet to sleep, but actually you really want to just grab their shoulders and be like, are you joking? Like, it was only seven. This is what you've done to your dog. You've contributed to this dog's obesity and the fact that we've lost it at seven. So lots of sad cases, really. The best one, though, are the diabetic cats. I've had one 6.8 kilo cat that got to 4.2 kilos and we did reverse its diabetes.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, 69 kilos. That's more than me.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That's crazy. So how can a pet owner, you know, get a good idea of how many calories their pet should have in a day? Is this something that pet owners should be more aware of? And if yes, you know, how, I'm a pet owner, how can I find that out?
So it's difficult because every breed, different breeds and different ages and lifestyles and underlying health conditions, they all have different nutritional requirements. So there's not really a set amount of calories per day for a dog or a cat or whatever. And that actually is why when we talk about, you know, home cooked diets or raw feeding and all of that carry on, it's really hard to figure out the calories and nutrition that's the right amount for that particular dog, which is why, you know, that we recommend X brand or whatever, because actually on the back it'll say for this body weight of this particular size, this is how many grams you feed, and it's already worked out for you. So that's why I and the majority of us recommend, you know, the trialed and tested dog foods.
You mentioned that it's easier to know how much your pet should be eating if you are feeding them a kind of a reputable brand of dog or cat food, which says on the back, feed them X amount for X age or X size of pet. What about then raw feeding, for example? Can an owner really gauge how much their pet should be eating if they're feeding them a raw diet? And are there any risks?
It's a topic that's been under a lot of debate through the pet owner and veterinary industry. As a general rule, my advice is same with anything. I don't advise anything from diets to medications if it's not been trialed and tested and an evidence-based proof that it works. So in terms of the risks of raw feeding, you know, it's been proven that there are strong correlations between passing diseases from the raw feed to humans who prepare it and also to your pets. So raw food carrying, you know, raw chicken, salmonella, campylobacter, it's been found in humans. So we know that there is a link. So that's not very nice to think of. Another downside to raw feeding is that it's very, very hard in any food that you prepare yourself, almost impossible to actually get the accurate amount of vitamins and minerals and protein and fat and carbs to make. It's really, really difficult. Also, there's a strong downside of, you know, potentially encouraging antibiotic resistance if those raw feedings goes into the human feed chain, etc. So it is hard to find the right balance. It's unless you do it absolutely properly under a nutritionist's advice, I just really don't recommend it, but mainly for the health risks to your pets and you, such as the salmonella and things.
If an owner really does want to kind of try raw feeding with their pet, is there a way that they can balance raw feeding with, say, branded food?
for some owners that really desperately would like to try it, I would just direct them to an appropriate nutritionist.
Let's move on to the pretty controversial topic of vegan diets for pets. Increasingly trendy, particularly in East London, where I live. What do you think about vegan diets? Are they ever okay? What do you have to say to owners who are considering a vegan diet for their pet?
So vegan diets, again, similar to raw, quite an interesting topic. One I would probably say was a bit more controversial than raw, if we can get any more controversial. The bottom line is that I understand the myriad of reasons why, you know, we might choose ourselves to be vegan. So obviously for your own personal health, for environmental reasons, for animal welfare. I just think it's important. We've got to be careful that we don't impose our views or beliefs onto our pets if that can potentially affect their welfare. So vegan in cats is a categoric no-go, as far as I'm concerned. Cats require something called taurine, which is found in meat proteins. Dogs, in theory, could be vegan and vegetarian. So their cats are carnivores. We are omnivores, and dogs can be omnivores. And dogs actually have, over the years, eaten a similar diet to us. So they can actually digest the food that we can, vegetables and fruits and proteins and things. So they could. I think, as a general rule, though, I don't recommend it, because it's similar to what I talked about before. It's very, very hard, unless you are a qualified nutritionist, veterinary nutritionist, to find the balance with these diets, which is why I will always recommend, you know, certain brands of complete dog food, because they've been trialed and tested and proven to be safe. So why, and they do no harm. So why would you actively try and do something else? So we've got to be careful that we're not actually affecting the welfare of our pets. So cats, no. Dogs, we would have to have a really good argument for it. And if you did want to go down that route, it would have to be under the direct guidance of specialist nutritionists. And even then, you might struggle to fully fulfill the nutritional requirements of your pet.
The coverage over this particular article released about vegan food and pet health has seemed to be really one-sided in the majority of cases. So you can't really conclude from this particular article that pets fed vegan diets are healthier. Really, it should have been rephrased as, you know, owners who feed their pets vegan diets believe their pets to be healthy, because that's really the crux of the paper. It was based on beliefs of owners. This article, it's not a study, it's actually a survey, and it's a survey based on questionnaires. Questionnaires are naturally inherently biased, and they're based on opinions. So there's nothing objective or nothing scientific about the answers that were given. It was based on owners' thoughts and opinions. And I suppose using how many veterinary visits a particular pet's having as a marker of health to us just isn't reliable, because whilst absolutely, if one particular pet needs less and less veterinary visits, you could assume that that pet might be healthier than another that needs lots. But then, you know, an owner not bringing a pet to the veterinary practice could be down to a variety of things, primarily the fact that they might not be able to recognize that their pets are unwell, or they actually would prefer to try out their own holistic medications, etc. So a number of veterinary visits doesn't equate to pet health, essentially. So I think if we're really to draw any accurate conclusions from vegan diets and health, then much more needs to be done. Now, that's not to say that this particular survey doesn't start to ask questions. And with more studies in the future, you know, for example, ones that can follow pets through their lifetime, ones where pets are fed the food exclusively with objective markers to measure their health rather than using opinion, perhaps, you know, one day we absolutely might see that vegan foods make pets healthy. But at the moment, and based on this particular survey, you just cannot draw that conclusion.
Let's talk a little bit about what owners can do to make sure their pet stays a healthy weight and also help their pet lose weight if it needs to. What advice would you give to a dog owner who doesn't have time? You know, they're working a 9-to-5 and they just don't have time to personally make sure that their dog gets a lot of exercise.
I mean, you can look at this from two different angles. So for anybody that knows me, knows that I am, hopefully the majority of vets are anyway, I'm really passionate about welfare and responsible pet ownership. So if we are assuming that somebody who does work 9 to 5, which a lot of us do, some work longer, really desperately wants to have a companion, whilst I can appreciate that because I know how much value they bring to our lives, we've really got to also encourage this responsible ownership that is a pet the right thing for you if that dog's going to be left all day and not exercise. So I would never encourage anybody to own a pet if they told me I'm not really going to be able to really exercise that dog. It's just not fair. It's not fair on that pet. But obviously, there are going to be circumstances that our circumstances do change and a pet owner might not be able to exercise that pet for health reasons or going into hospital. And that happens. And of course, there is a lot of things that we can do. And I actually did post a series of games and things that you could do with your pet to have that sort of stimulation in the mind, in the house or in the garden, if you can't exercise them, which is what we couldn't do during COVID. So things like, obviously, you could always get a dog walker, but we've got to be mindful of their cost and things. So you can get dog walkers. You could do doggy daycare if you're not able to exercise your dog. I feel like sort of emotional stimulation is really important as well. So there are things that you can do in the house, or if you're lucky enough to have a garden, that can really stimulate a dog's mind, such as you can get, they're called snuffle pads. There's like a big mat of material all over and you can sprinkle food in them, so the dogs have to try and work to find their food. So that gives them, they're burning calories and they're being entertained. You can get the toys such as Kongs that you can fill with food and you can freeze it, so they're lollipop type things. You can encourage normal sniffing, or it depends if some owners are against this, but digging behaviors. So I don't know, my Finn loves to go down the park because there's a soil pit and he just digs in it. So if you have a bit of garden that they can, you can hide things in, and then you get the dogs out and they can sniff around, or you can do it in the house as well. So there are lots of things that you can do to try and entertain them, but fundamentally the majority of dogs, unless they've got health issues where you can't really exercise them, which is, there's not many, obviously you limit exercise with things like arthritis, but dogs really need exercise. So if you really are struggling to do any, you would have to look into some help with family, friends, or a dog walker, or doggy daycare, or something like that.
What are some of your top tips then for a pet owner to help their pet stay at a healthy weight?
I think first of all, before you even get that particular pet, you need to know about that pet. You need to know what type of exercise it might need. Is it a working dog? Is it going to be one dog that just needs a potter like a Lurch? They actually don't need that much, you know, exercise for hours and hours and hours. Is there any underlying health issues from that puppy dog, you know, whatever you've taken on? And then you can start to figure out what diet then they might need. So, and that's working with the vets and the nurses as well. So that, you know, I think there's this misunderstanding that vets and nurses, we just recommend food because we get money for it, or whatever. We don't. We have food in the practice, but I will quite happily say, you know, listen, if this isn't quite within your budget, go and find it somewhere else. I'm not bothered. But I think it's important to just best start in life. Start that pet on an appropriate, either puppy food or adult food, whatever life stage it's at. An appropriate food for its, you can get breed specific ones, but for the life stage, so puppy, junior, adult, and then adapt that as that pet grows up. And I think then working with us, that's how we can try and maintain a healthy weight, and we can advise you on, you know, for example, if and when you're new to that pet, we're going to have to change that diet onto a neutered food because the metabolism is going to change and we don't want that pet to get overweight. So I think it's, you know, educating ourselves as pet owners, but trying to be educated by those that actually do know information, such as the veterinary professionals, the vets and the nurses and things. But actually reducing the food that you give them can actually almost make them feel more hungry, and it's not sustainable. If you imagine, if we ever wanted to quickly lose weight, of course you can reduce your calories by a half or whatever, but that's not sustainable. You end up being starving and eating more anyway. So what's better is slow and steady weight loss with a diet that helps you lose that weight, but also makes you feel full, and also utilizing other methods like slow feeders. And, you know, I talked about the puzzle feeders or the snuffle pads and things. So there's lots that we can do, but I feel like if owners and vets and nurses, we work together for that weight loss, that's how we will achieve it.
That makes a lot of sense. I've never thought about it like that, actually, in terms of a dog might be very similar to us in actually becoming more obsessed with food. What about cats? Are cats any different? Can you give a snuffle mat to a cat?
So there's always the common statement that cats are not small dogs. So cats are a completely different kettle of fish. So I'm trying to think, could I give a snuffle mat to my cat? I imagine so. So what you actually, in theory, should do if you want to be sort of cat friendly and reduce stress in cats, you want to almost utilize feeding to try and emulate their hunting in the wild. So cats are, they come from the domestic wildcat, solitary hunters. And then they've almost become domesticated and we feed them in a bowl next to the water, next to the litter tray, next to the dog food. But actually, they hunt for their food in the wild. So there are things that you can do. So there's some pictures where owners have made, you know, the inside of the loo rolls. They've kind of stacked them all up and you put food in them. So the cat has to scoop their food out and almost play and work for their food. And that's a massive way of not only stimulating that cat, you're also burning calories off, making it work for its food, but it's also sort of echoing what they would do in the wild. But the general advice for weight loss is the same. My cat is three-legged arthritic and has been overweight. And the food, I haven't mentioned the brand, obviously, but the specific food that she's on is the one I was talking about for the dogs that helps with weight loss whilst keeping them full for longer. And you can use it ongoing as a maintenance food as well. It's a complete food and it works really well. So the advice is the same. It's just cats are slightly different and it's harder for cats to burn calories than dogs because you can't make them go for a walk, particularly if they're indoors.
I mean, you could try, but it might end in disaster, I guess, to try and walk your cat outside. We're actually running out of time and you've been absolutely fantastic and given so many really insightful answers. I'm going to end by asking you, if there was one thing you wish you could tell every new pet owner in regards to making sure their pet remains a healthy weight, if you had, you know, 20 seconds with every new pet owner on the planet, what would you say?
So I would just say that 50% of our pets are overweight. It affects their quality of life, reduces their lifespan, and the pet's not with you for as long as you would like them to be. So it's really important that we get on the best start in life, the most appropriate diet from when they're a puppy, and we transition it through to adulthood using the support of the vets and the nurses. And that's all we can do. And hopefully that will help maintain a healthy weight for them.
This has been The Pet Perspective by Napo Pet Insurance. You can find more things that your pet would want you to know at napo.pet.